We have arrived at that time of year when it is not uncommon for Protestant churches to remember events back in 1517, when something happened that changed the world. It's an issue, a question, that is possibly the most important question that can be considered. And that is, how do we get right with God? In the early part of the 16th century, in what was called Christian Europe, people were filled with fear. They sought peace with God. They knew that they were sinners. They had a bad conscience. And how could they salve their consciences? How could they find peace with God? And over many years, had developed various different ideas, not derived from the Bible, as to how a person can get right with God. Through good works. Through the purchase of indulgences. Through what was called penance. Or through pilgrimages, going to perceived holy sites, and that by doing these things, you earned merit. And if you earn enough merit, then there was some hope for you. It was against this background that a young man by the name of Martin Luther, in what is now Germany. Germany was not unified until the 19th century. It was a number of separate statelets. But he was destined for the law until he was caught in a very fierce thunderstorm, was terrified he'd get killed, and cried out to, I believe it was St. Anne, that he might be preserved from the storm. And if he was preserved from the storm, then he would become a monk. He was preserved from the storm, and much to the disgust of his parents, he became an Augustinian monk. He was tormented by this issue. How can a sinner get right with God? He wore out his confessor in the monastery because he was forever coming to confess his sins. The burden of his guilt was so great, and he wanted to know peace with God. He tried everything. So confession after confession after confession to his confessor. He fasted. He took part in vigils. He did self-denial in various ways. None of these things brought him peace. He was advised to study theology. And that might keep him quiet, they thought. So he was not forever coming, confessing trivial, minor sins, but sins that weighed heavily on his conscience. In studying the book of Romans, he came across this verse in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. For in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Luther had always thought, really only noticing the first part of the verse, that the gospel was about the righteousness of God, and he thought this meant the righteousness of God in punishing sinners. And that is the way he thought. Until one day, it suddenly broke in upon his mind that in fact, it is not the righteousness of God in punishing sinners. It is the righteousness of God in forgiving guilty sinners. The righteousness of God that we require. The righteousness of God that we require is revealed from faith to faith. It is those who believe. As it is written, This is quoting from the Old Testament, the righteous shall live by faith. How do we get right with God? It is through faith. The question is, what kind of faith? And faith in what? Or faith in who? You do find people who say, oh, I have faith. And you say, but faith in what? I have faith in faith. I believe. But Luther discovered it was more than that. The righteousness of God is not that by which God condemns sinners, but rather it is that by which he justifies the one who believes in Christ. Luther said, it felt as though I had entered paradise through open doors. He'd found peace with God. He knew his sins were forgiven, not because of any effort on his part, but only on the basis of what Jesus Christ had done. He put his trust in Christ. And thus began what we call the Reformation. Now, I'm not going to give a history lecture this morning, but the Reformation spread across Europe, one could say like wildfire. There were various centres of the Reformation, particularly Zurich in Switzerland and Geneva in Switzerland. Zurich, German-speaking part of Switzerland. Geneva, French-speaking part of Switzerland. And you had Ulrich Zwingli in Zurich and John Calvin in Geneva. And they became great teachers of the Word of God. These people, as with Luther, they were not infallible. Not everything they did or said was in accordance with the scriptures, but they were a great help. As it is often said, this is, usually relates to scientists, they say, how can you know so much? Well, it's because I stand on the shoulders of giants. I can see further because I'm able to stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before. And so while we are always very grateful for these great men of the past, we are able to understand more of the Bible because we are able to see the mistakes they made, as well as the good things that they have taught us. Well, the thing that comes out of this, with regard to Luther and finding peace with God and how we know that our sins are forgiven, is to understand, first of all, the problem of our lack of righteousness. The Bible tells us, and if you read from chapter 1 of Romans, verse 18, through to chapter 3, verse 20, Paul is proving that all men, everywhere, without exception, are sinners, that they are not right with God. They need to be forgiven for their sins, because great are their sins. And some people like to think, but I'm not as big a sinner as this person who lives down the road. You want to see the things that they do and say. That's awful. The trouble is, as soon as you start saying things like that, you have set up a standard. And the question then is, do you comply with your own standard? And usually, invariably, the answer is no. We fail our own standards. And if we fail even our standards, how are we going to match up to God's standards, which are always much higher than ours are? God will hold us to an account. And if we say, but I didn't know what the Bible said. No, that might be true. But you have made judgments. You have made moral standards. And you have broken those moral standards of your own. You knew that what you did was wrong. People try and get around this. People try and say, oh, but I'm better than such and such. But we're dealing with an absolute standard, not with a relative standard. Just because you think, and you're probably wrong, just because you think you're better than someone else doesn't mean that God agrees with you. So, looking at what we think is our goodness, not good enough. Religious works. Oh, I've done all these religious works. I've gone through all these ceremonies. I've gone on pilgrimage. Doesn't count. Not relevant. Because you still sin. You are still a sinner. Paul summarizes Romans 1:18 to chapter 3 verse 20 when he says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not just one or two, but everyone. There is not a single person who is not condemned by the scriptures, by God's eternal standard. Excuse me. God's standard is perfection. You must have done nothing wrong ever in the whole of your life. And hence, Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 20, "By the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight." So here is the problem. How can we get right with God if we are not good enough? And we cannot ever be good enough. Well, the wonderful thing is, God is a gracious God. And God has done that which we cannot do. And so Paul writes in chapter 3 and verse 21 and following. Paul writes in Romans 3 and verse 21 and following. "But now the righteousness of God, that which God requires of us, has been manifested apart from the law, though the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." How do we become righteous? Through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. We are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's a gift. Now, when someone gives you a gift at Christmas or on your birthday, you don't say, "Oh, thank you very much. What do I owe you?" And they'll look at you and they'll say, "You're mad. It's a gift. It's a free gift." Now, often you hear about various promotions by different companies, and they offer you a free gift, and you think, "Oh yes, there must be strings attached," and usually there are. But when it comes to a birthday present or a Christmas present, there should be no strings attached. Someone is giving you a gift because they love you. God gives us this free gift because of love towards us. Why does God love us? We are sinners. We don't deserve anything from God. And yet God, in his grace and his mercy, has given us this wonderful gift, the righteousness that he requires of us. He gives to us freely through faith in Jesus Christ. Freely given. This is not because we try our best. This is not because we go on bended knees and we pray for half an hour a day. It's not because we read 10 chapters of the Bible a day. It's not because we go and visit Jerusalem once a year, once every 5 years, or any time at all. These things don't bring us righteousness. Because God gives it to us as a gift. Deriving from the Reformation, there were 5 famous statements or summaries. Sola Scriptura, meaning Scripture alone, as the source of authority. So just because some famous person says, "Oh, but," the question then is it what the Bible says? And it doesn't matter who that person is, however famous they might be, whatever position they have is not relevant. The question is it what the Bible says? Sola Scriptura. And then there is sola fide, by faith alone, faith in Christ alone. Sola gratia, by grace alone. It's not based on merit, it's based upon God's grace. Solus Christus, in Christ alone. It's only because of what Christ has done that we come to know God and peace with God. And the fifth one is soli deo gloria, for the glory of God alone. We don't do any of these things. We don't believe in Christ and say, look at me, how wonderful I am. I have believed in Christ. No, it's nuts. It's because of God's grace. And God is glorified in the salvation of sinners. Sinners like you and me. We don't deserve any glory. So justification comes to us through faith in Christ alone. Now we are declared by God when we repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God declares us to be righteous and adopts us into his family. Justified, as Paul says in Romans 3:23, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is not a work. We cannot earn it. Paul says in Romans chapter 4 verse 5, to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. And then Paul refers to Abraham, the great Old Testament example. In Genesis 15 and verse 6, Abraham believed God, believed the promises that God made to him. And it was counted, his belief in what God said, it was counted to him as righteousness. It comes to us through God's grace, his unmerited favour. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, so that no one may boast. And it's all because of what Christ has done. Christ lived, Christ died for our sins, and as Paul says in Romans 4:25, he rose again for our justification. So the cross demonstrates the justice of God in that sin is seen to be punished, but the resurrection shows God's mercy to us and we are justified because the resurrection shows that sin has been fully dealt with in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you do get people who, hearing this glorious message that salvation is through repentance and faith alone, in Christ alone, because of God's grace alone, people will automatically respond and say, huh, so what you're saying is just because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can now live as you like. You can be as ungodly as you want and it doesn't matter. But that is a lie. That is just not true. True faith is never alone. True faith results in us showing love to God. True faith shows obedience to God. True faith shows doing good works. We do good works not in order to earn salvation. We do good works because we love God. We do good works because we have been forgiven, not in order that we might be forgiven, which is what James speaks about in his letter, chapter 2. He points out that those who say, oh, I have faith, and James says, yes, I have works. What's James saying? Is he contradicting what Paul says? No, he's not. He's saying, if you just say you have faith, demonstrate your faith by the way in which you live. Abraham demonstrated that because Abraham was declared righteous by God because he had faith. And then when God said, offer up your son Isaac as a sacrifice, Abraham believed God. And so Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. And God held back his hand and said, enough. Now I know you believe me. By our actions, we demonstrate whether or not we truly believe the gospel of Christ. Fruit, true fruit, follows faith in Christ. Those who have been great sinners, when they are converted, when they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, their lives are transformed. And people around them who knew them before are amazed at the transformation that takes place. The converted life, the believing life, is a changed life, a grateful life, a life of love to God, and a life of gratitude. Not a life of earning salvation, but a life of constantly giving thanks to God for what he has done in Christ. This is the message that I have preached regularly down through the years. It's a message that has been preached by many others down through the centuries. And it has resulted in the transformation of many people turned from sin to righteousness. If you do not yet know peace with God, if you do not have a clear conscience, then the message is for you as well, that if you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, all your sins will be forgiven. And God will transform your heart, change your life, give you peace and a clear conscience. And how glorious that is. The Reformation may have taken place 500 years ago, but there are still things we can learn from it. There are still things where we can look back and say, well, they got that wrong. And we can do things better because of the foundation that was laid then, going back to the ultimate foundation of the Word of God, the Scriptures. Reformation is never ultimately complete because always we have to go back to the Scriptures to see what it is that the Scriptures teach. And to follow the Scriptures. And if anyone has taught things in the past, and we discover the Scriptures say something different, then we say, well, they were men of their time. We have now learnt that they were wrong in that respect. It's the Scriptures that we look to. God has given us his word to instruct us and to teach us. And as John Robinson, the pastor of the Pilgrim Fathers, said back in 1620, he said, I believe that God has yet more light and truth to break forth from his word. He's saying we haven't yet got it all. We don't yet have a perfect understanding. We have to continue to dig into the Scriptures to understand what God has said. But what God has clearly said and what was clearly understood at the time of the Reformation and since is that the way in which we get right with God is only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give up all attempts to earn God's favour. Give up all attempts at doing good works to earn God's favour. Do not think there is anything that you can do to earn God's favour when God freely offers the gospel of grace to everyone, to anyone who will repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Christ can save sinners. Only Christ can make you righteous. And only Christ offers it freely and without price. And this is a message that was found all the way through the Bible. And it is something that has been preached endlessly throughout the world to this present hour. And until I leave this world, I will do all that I can to proclaim this glorious truth, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, based on the scriptures alone, and to the glory of God alone. And so, I will end this morning by referring you to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, where Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And may everyone present, may everyone who watches, may everyone who listens know this forgiveness that God freely offers to everyone who merely repents and believes. Some people say that's too easy. It really is that easy. Come to Christ, believe in him, rest upon him and him alone, and God will forgive you all of your sins.